Our next speaker is Richard Hawkins, who did his doctoral research at the London School of Economics on the Hawaiian economy between 1893 and 1941, where his thesis focused on the Hawaiian pineapple industry. Since then, he's published several articles on the history of pineapple canning in places such as Baltimore, the Bahamas, Hawaii, Malaysia, Singapore, Taiwan, and Australia. He's also the author of a monograph on the history of pineapple canning in Hawaii called A Pacific Business. Is that its title? And he's currently a reader in history at the University of Wolverhampton. So,
thank you. Join. So one of the issues with pineapples becoming a global commodity is that they are very difficult to transport in the 19th century before refrigerated shipping. There was a very high spoilage rate, which meant it was not possible to develop a mass market for fresh pineapples in the United States in the 19th century, whether by importing pineapples from the Caribbean or transporting them by railroad from Florida up to New York and places like that. It's estimated on some of the voyages from the Caribbean to places like Baltimore, the spoilage rate was over half of the shipment. So obviously these kind of losses were very problematic to the merchants. And canning emerged as an alternative method to market pineapples. And the industry employed a technology developed by Nicholas Appert during the Napoleonic Wars. He won a prize in a competition the French government during the Napoleonic Wars to improve the preservation of foodstuffs for the French Navy. By the mid-1860s, seafood canners in the American port city of Baltimore had begun to can pineapples imported from the Bahamas. But in the early days of the American canning industry, there were serious issues regarding the safety of the products. Potentially consuming a canned product was life-threatening, though there were quite a number of fatalities from actually consuming various types of canned products. I found an example from the Chronicling America newspaper database of digitized American newspapers from 1868. United States Senator Jacob Howard attributed a bout of sudden illness and delirium to some canned pineapple he'd eaten several days before. This Missouri senator did actually survive his illness to go on to serve as a senator for several more years. By the early 1870s, canners based in Baltimore and New York City began to establish canneries in the Bahamas from which they shipped canned pineapple to the United States. They were almost certainly the first international exporters of canned pineapple. That's Nicholas Appert. He looks quite a formidable character. And this is one of the earliest depictions of a pineapple plantation in the United States. News media. This is an article from Frank Blaise's illustrated newspaper from 1879 on the pineapple industry in the Bahamas. And this is the export of pineapples. As you can see, the kind of racial segmentation which you find in the pineapple industry is illustrated here, where you have the white sea captain or merchant, and the workers are Afro-Caribbean people. And this is one of the earliest depictions of a pineapple cannery, and it's pretty basic technology here. So in the 19th century, Baltimore led the world in canning technology. However, by the early 1880s, canning technology had been diffused to the Straits Settlements, part of the British Empire. A number of pineapple canneries were established in the Straits settlements, notably Singapore, by European entrepreneurs. However, during the 1890s, these European entrepreneurs sold out to local overseas Chinese entrepreneurs. And they developed a significant export trade to the United Kingdom, where their principal customers were working class. There's quite a contrast between the market for canned pineapples in the United States and in Britain. So in the United States, the canned pineapples consumption is more a middle-class pursuit, whereas in Britain it tends much, much more to be working-class people who eat canned fruit. There's a stigma against, what should we call it, tinned food in Britain, which is not found in the United States in the same period. American diplomats visited some of these canneries in Singapore, and they criticised them for producing a low-quality product. Whether this is the prejudice on the part of the American diplomats or whether this actually reflects the reality, I'm not entirely sure. And so there's some images of the early pineapple industry in the Straits settlements. And this is an early depiction of a pineapple cannery in Singapore. It looks a bit different from the canneries which were being founded in the Hawaiian Islands at the same time. So perhaps the diplomats were actually correct. And in the Straits settlements and later British Malaya, the pineapple plantations were actually not really pineapple plantations because the pineapples were grown under rubber trees. So pineapples were kind of like a subsidiary crop of the rubber industry. And this particular Chinese entrepreneur, he actually owns a rubber plantation, but he's also growing pineapples as well. So he's getting value for his money from the plantation. Pineapple canning in the Hawaiian Islands began in the late 19th century with two attempts to establish an export industry. After the annexation of Hawaii by the United States in 1898, the US Department of Agriculture experimented with the shipment of fresh pineapples to the US West Coast. But just like the merchants trying to ship pineapples from the Bahamas to the US Northeast, the agricultural experiment station scientists in Hawaii failed to achieve acceptable levels of spoilage on the voyage from Honolulu to San Francisco. So they were unable to develop a successful trade in fresh pineapples from Hawaii. Meanwhile, American entrepreneurs in Hawaii used the pineapple canning technology developed in Baltimore and improved it. Using the most advanced technology, the pineapple canners in Hawaii produced a high-quality product which appealed to America's middle-class consumers. So the first attempt was by two people of German heritage, Ackerman and Muller, in 1882. I think their cannery only lasted maybe a year or so. It wasn't a success. It was very small scale, of course, as well. And then the second attempt was later in the 1880s into the 1890s. And John Kidwell was an immigrant from Devon in Britain. And his partner, Mr. Emil Luth, was a German-American from Cincinnati. And Kidwell was the horticulturist, and Emil Luth was the plumber. And so the plumber was in charge of the cannery operation, and Kidwell was in charge of the actual plantation operation. And they built a cannery on the site of the modern-day University of Hawaii at Manoa. So... when you go to that university campus, somewhere on the campus is where this cannery was located. I didn't actually find the actual site when I went there. But Kidwell and Emmaloof were ultimately unsuccessful. Their business was a very small scale, and they also had problems with the tariff barrier in the 1890s. Of course, once America annexes Hawaii, the tariff barrier goes away, which is a big boost to the industry. And one of the first people to take advantage of the new circumstances in Hawaii was a Harvard man, James D. Dole, Jim Dole, some he's sometimes known. And he led the development of cannery technology in Hawaii in the early 20th century. And he founded a company known as the Hawaiian Pineapple Company, later known as Dole, currently known as Dole Food. And this became the leading pineapple canner in Hawaii. He was responsible, as one of our early speakers said, for the development of the Janaka machine, which improved on the previous machines which had been developed in Baltimore. Later in the 1920s, Dole purchased an island, and he developed most of this island of Lanai as a new pineapple plantation. It had previously been used as a cattle ranch. Land, of course, is a huge issue in Hawaii, and there are all sorts of issues related to native Hawaiian expropriation, but that's not really the focus of this particular presentation. Two continental American canners, Del Monte and Libby McNeil and Libby of Chicago, also established major pineapple canning subsidiaries in Hawaii during the first two decades of the 20th century. So these big three companies, Hawaiian Pineapple Company, Del Monte from California, and Libby McNeil and Libby, were the three major companies in the industry. And this is Mr. Dole. This is his Janaka machine. This machine is constantly improved over the decades. And even in the 1980s, they were still improving upon it. When I visited the Maui Land and Pineapple Cannery in Kahului, Maui, in 1984, they wouldn't let me take any photographs of the actual cannery because the Janaka machines were the latest version and they didn't want their competitors to... exactly, yes. And this is Dole's new cannery, which is just opened in 1907. He'd moved from a previous site. And so this at the time was... they claimed it was the world's biggest pineapple cannery. And this is a pre-war pineapple plantation to the north of Honolulu on the island of Oahu. And this is an image of a pineapple plantation from the cover of a cookbook, which had lots of recipes for what you could do with canned pineapple. And this was used as part of advertising. So you could actually write into the... I think this is the cooperative association of the industry. You could write into their head office and they'd send you a free cookbook. And I think in this advertisement, they're also talking about recipes that you can use to actually take advantage of your canned pineapple pie, I think, in this particular instance. And this... early example of advertisement also uses the image of Diamond Head and surfboarding. Of course, this is before mass tourism. So the only people who could really go to Hawaii for their holidays from the United States would have been very wealthy people at the time. It would have been a very exclusive resort at the time, unlike in the 1980s. By the 1920s, the industry's cooperative association had taken over control of agriculture research from the United States Department of Agriculture. And the Hawaiian industry was to lead the world in the application of scientific research on its pineapple plantations. And scientific agriculture was very clearly linked to the maintenance of the industry's competitiveness. However, not enough attention was paid to the negative aspects of scientific agriculture. And so there have been big issues since the early 1980s with the legacy of the use of pesticides by the pineapple industry in Hawaii. And if you look at pineapple plantations in Central America today, there are also issues with pesticides and such nasty things connected with this scientific agriculture. So the Hawaiian Pineapple Company continues to expand, and the cannery is further developed by the late 1920s. And we have a racially segmented labour force. So the executives at the Hawaiian Pineapple Company were almost all European Americans, and the workers were either people who were descended from Asian immigrants in the 19th century to Hawaii, or people who'd been brought in the 1920s from the Philippines. I think relatively few native Hawaiian people were employed by the industry, and most of those people were employed in the canneries, not on the plantations. Native Hawaiian people didn't particularly appreciate the low paid, arduous work on the pineapple plantations. And this is a picture of a pineapple plantation from 1927. And Dole prided himself on being a good Christian, and he was a strong advocate for welfare capitalism. He didn't hold with trade unions, but he did believe in trying to treat his workers well, although some of the oral history suggests that the much advertised cafeteria for the workers was mostly used by the more senior members of the workforce. And the ordinary shop floor workers ate their sandwiches outside the cafeteria. But whether that oral history is accurate, I don't know. But sometimes the propaganda is not actually matched by the reality, so it might be. Looking beyond Hawaii in the interwar period, we have the Japanese trying to develop a pineapple canning industry using American technology in Taiwan, their colony of Taiwan. And they produced a high-quality product for export to the United States and achieved some success during the Great Depression of the 1930s. And on their can labels, they had a prominent place that their pineapples in Taiwan were grown from Hawaiian seeds. And the US government felt that this was a way to, they were trying to deceive the American consumers by pretending it was a Hawaiian product when it was actually from Taiwan. The American canning companies in Hawaii also sought to develop new centers of production elsewhere in the world in the interwar period. Libby McNeil and Libby explored the possibility of production in Kenya, ultimately without any success, but their experimental plantation later became a Del Monte plantation and cannery after the Second World War at Theca. And Del Monte established a subsidiary in the Philippines, and they developed a plantation and a cannery. And this company, subsidiary company in the Philippines, was producing quite a substantial output by the Second World War. And obviously the attraction of the Philippines was that land costs were lower and also labor costs were lower. And water was less of an issue in the Philippines than it was in Hawaii. And Dole established a short-lived subsidiary in Fiji. Fiji, looking quite similar to Hawaii, also with a big sugar industry, but the subsidiary in Fiji was not ultimately a success. and I don't think pineapples are grown commercially in Fiji anymore. So this is an example of a label where these Japanese pineapple canners are trying to pass off their product as having a connection with Hawaii. The industry, the Hawaiian industry, was hard hit by the delayed impact of the Great Depression during the early 1930s, and one of its responses was to develop a new product, canned pineapple juice, which when I was at the cannery with the Maui Land and Pineapple Company in Kahului, they gave me unlimited amounts of pineapple juice to drink. And if you drink a lot of it, you realise how acidic it is. So it was too much of a good thing. And this is an example of Del Monte advertising for canned pineapple juice in the 1930s. Dole also developed a competitive pineapple juice using a different process. And this is an advertisement by a famous commercial artist from France. Hawaii emerged from World War II in a dominant position. It took several years for British Malaya and Taiwan to rebuild their war-damaged industries. By 1955, most of the pineapple industry in British Malaya had been relocated from Singapore to the neighbouring Malayan state of Johor. Del Monte also rebuilt its subsidiary in the Philippines. From the 1960s, high labour and land costs in Hawaii also led Dole to establish subsidiaries in the Philippines and Thailand. By the 1980s, the Philippines and Thailand had emerged as major centres of canned pineapple production. And of course, they benefited from lower labour costs, lower land costs, and a much more accommodative government. So, you know, the American government and the state governments were introducing all these regulations, and labour unions had become quite powerful in Hawaii too. So it was much less easy for big companies producing canned pineapples in Hawaii to lord it over the workers, as they had done before the Second World War. Taiwan, meanwhile, had relocated its pineapple industry to the Ivory Coast. It wasn't actually a success, the relocation, but they didn't try again somewhere else. So this is it's actually quite difficult to get photographs of multinational pineapple plantations in the Philippines and Thailand for some strange reason. There seems to be some kind of sensitivity. The 1980s marked the beginning of the demise of pineapple canning in Hawaii. During the 1990s, the remaining canneries in Hawaii were closed, apart from a small cannery on Maui, specialising in the American supermarket brand label market for chain stores like A&P. And I think also there was some kind of paternalism thing going on as well, because the owner of the cannery was descended from one of the old missionary families, and it was quite clear when I met him that he'd inherited some of the kind of missionary ethos. This cannery closed in 2007. However, Dole and Del Monte branded canned pineapple continue to be produced in the Philippines, Thailand and Kenya. And this is an example of the Dole pineapple cannery in its last years. So, in more recent years, American consumers have begun to switch from canned to fresh pineapple consumption, and Dole and one of the Del Monte successor companies have developed new plantations in Central America to supply the fresh pineapple market, which from the early 21st century was also extended to Western Europe, and production was shifted from Hawaii to Central America. In Hawaii, as I've said, there have been environmental issues resulting from the pesticides used by the pineapple companies. The Maui Land and Pineapple Company sought to retain a share of the American fresh fruit market by developing a premium fruit known as Maui Gold. and a successor company continues to produce this premium product on the island. At the beginning of the 2020s, the global pineapple industry is dominated by multinational agribusinesses such as America's Dole Food Company. As I said, there's been a shift from canned to fresh fruit, but a market for canned pineapples remains in less affluent parts of the world, and this explains the survival of the pineapple canning industry in Malaysia. And the lead pineapple company is still doing a profitable business, although they seem to have some old-fashioned techniques in on the plantation. This company, founded in 1931, is still going strong. Okay, thank you very much.